God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. For the next 3 days, Brother Hutchings will be visiting with Dr. Grant Jeffrey about a new book he's written entitled Countdown to the Apocalypse. Brother Grant is an internationally known prophecy expert and author of several books. This newest one deals with the book of Daniel. Brother Hutchings, Brother Grant is an old friend of ours.
Grant's association with our ministry, I think it goes back to 1990 when he was on the program and we went out on a series of meetings with Brother Grant. And time and time again, he's come back and visited with us when he had completed a new book, and which is the occasion for him being with us this week, because he has written a new book, Countdown to the Apocalypse. Brother Grant, it's so good to have you back on the program for another visit. Your new book, Countdown on Apocalypse, I've been looking at it and studied the book of Daniel. We're always interested in the prophecies of Daniel, and certainly they apply to our day. You know, we're living in interesting times, aren't we?
We are indeed. And one of the things that about Daniel that has always fascinated me is that while many of the other prophets of the Bible, Isaiah and John and the book of Revelation, etc., were given astonishing details of future events, Daniel is virtually unique among the biblical prophets in that he not only was given astonishing details of events and even the sequence in which they would happen, but he was given an insight by God into the times. And this was quite unusual because most of the other prophecies from the other prophets do not give you any specific time. And this was so critical because God wanted the Jewish and Christian people to understand, first of all, the times of the first coming of the Messiah, and Daniel certainly predicted that with incredible accuracy, but he also wanted us to understand the last days, and that's why Daniel was told by the angel, seal up the vision until the time of the end, and then, of course, it will be understood. And we, as you and I have discussed many times, from the time I began my ministry in the fall of 88, in fact, that was the very first radio interviews that I did was with you about my first book, Armageddon, Appointment with Destiny. And so you were there really at the launch of our ministry. 26 bucks later, here we are still talking about those things that are fascinating to Christians around the world, especially those who want to understand the timeline of last day events, and that's where Daniel can help us pull together all the information from the other prophets and put it in a kind of timeline that makes sense.
You know, Grant, some of the outstanding ministers, communication ministers, began in their early days of their ministry here at the Southwest Radio Church Ministry. Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I know when I came to this ministry in 1951, that was before Dr. McGee had his own radio ministry. He would come to Southwest Radio and be with us for our series of meetings and programs. And my, we think of all those who have been through this ministry and doing great things for the Lord.
God has really blessed your ministry because it has been a vehicle not just for yourself, but it's been a vehicle to launch many other ministries that are concerned with the prophetic word.
And I'm so pleased that you did this new book on Daniel. I've been reading it. You know, I wrote a book on Daniel.
Yes, you did.
About 400 pages, and I don't know how many editions have been published. But this is a new, fresh update on Daniel in view of the things that are happening right now. And would certainly encourage everyone, if you have my book on Daniel, you'll certainly appreciate Brother Grant. But in Sunday school, Brother Grant, most children learn stories about Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But again, could you tell us why it is so important for adults to study these stories today?
Well, certainly they reveal the character of these individuals. And a lot of people, I think, have an attitude that when we get to a crisis in our life spiritually or any other type of crisis, that God will then give us the gifts and the character to enable us to, with his help, triumph. But in my experience, and I've read an awful lot of the Bible and of biography of Christian and Jewish religious leaders, and what I have found, and especially this is shown in the life of Daniel and his three friends, is that the crisis of our life, like Daniel in the lion's den or the three thrown in the fiery furnace, those crises didn't cause their character. It revealed the character that God had already placed in their hearts, and their parents and other contacts had challenged them to develop a real strong reliance upon God. And so these gentlemen, when they have been ripped out of what appears that they were certainly aristocrats, and Daniel might very well have been of the princely line, and here they were taken 600 miles away in chains and in a horrible circumstance and forced to eat pagan food, yet the character of these young men, who were probably only about 17, 18 at that time, was revealed in their appeal to the king's officer that they would be able to eat what God had commanded them, and that God would show that they would be just as healthy. And throughout the various crises of Daniel and his friends' lives, we see that the character that they had developed as young men back in Israel was now given a chance to reveal itself in their dependence upon God and their willingness to say even to a king who was about to kill them that, yes, you can throw us in the fiery furnace, and if God wants us alive, you can't kill us, and if God chooses to allow us to die, then so be it, but we will not obey your evil law. That kind of character is not built as an adult. It is built usually as a child or a young person. And I think there's a real lesson in Daniel in practical child raising and in ourselves as Christians, that we learn early and practice the dependence upon God in little things, so that when the big crises come later, we'll have that character that God can then manifest his will in our lives and bring about victory.
You know, Brother Grant, today when I think we're living certainly in the days of the falling away, and also Christians have so many temptations today, inside and outside the church. These lessons are very important, aren't they?
Indeed, and there's no question, Noah, that Christians today are subject to temptations that our fellow Christians in past centuries and in millennium never faced. The prevalence of pornography, the challenge of the internet to family unity, the kind of things that are available now in drugs. When we were growing up, these challenges did not exist. And yet today, no matter how wonderful a Christian home is, as soon as a child leaves that home, he's exposed in a very dangerous world full of satanic challenges. And that's why when we as Christian parents build a Christian library in our home, which I really strongly encourage our listeners to make sure they do that, to have the resources there and then discuss with our children the lessons we learn from people like Daniel and his three companions. We learn those lessons early, and they'll stand us firm the rest of our life.
I taught the book of Daniel in the First Baptist Church of Hinton nearby. I encourage the young people to come, and I think half the audience was under 18 years of age, which I was delighted. And young people today can certainly learn from the book of Daniel, and that's why I would encourage our listeners to get your book and share it with young people in their home or in their churches. It can be a basis for study in Sunday school. So I'd certainly encourage you to get a copy of this new book by Brother Grant, and Brother Jerry will tell you how to do that.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. I know you and Brother Grant have lots more to talk about, so I'll keep it short. The 228-page book is offered for a gift of $20 in the U.S., $22 in Canada. To get it, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or go to our website at swrc.com. Here again is Brother Hutchings.
Grant, you say that the book of Daniel receives more severe constant attacks on its credibility than any other book in the Bible. I think you mentioned that on page 195. But now, could you explain why Daniel is receiving so much criticism?
Well, ever since the Enlightenment, when people began in Europe and then around the world to challenge a biblical-based view of truth and of science, we have confronted a situation where Daniel is the clearest proof in the Bible, in one area, one book, that the Bible is what it claims to be, supernatural and miraculous, and that it contains knowledge written by an individual 500 years plus before Jesus was born that described exactly when he would be cut off as Messiah. There are so many other clear prophecies in Daniel of the rise and fall of empires, of the Babylonian and the Medo-Persian and the Greek Empire and then the Roman, and every detail, including the tenfold division of the revived Roman Empire in the last days, but even to the division of Rome into the two legs represented by Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the metallic image with the two iron legs representing the strength of Rome, but the division that took place voluntarily in that incredible world empire. Well, anyone who looks at these prophecies is faced with a conundrum. The problem for the unbeliever is, how can these prophecies exist in the Bible, proven to have been written hundreds and hundreds of years before the events occurred, and how can they contain such accurate information of the sequence of events, of the rise and fall of empires, and even of the details of the cutting off of the Messiah? The only explanation is that it is supernatural, because we know that unaided humans cannot predict future events, not even in any way approaching what the Bible does with precision and the sequence of events. So the critic is faced with an almost insolvable problem. If he admits that the prophecies were made by Daniel when the Bible claims they were made, and the events themselves prove the accuracy, then he's faced with that the Bible must be what it claims to be, supernatural and prophetic. And that provides the authority for us to then say that when the Bible says there's only one name under heaven whereby we can be saved, that that name is Jesus, that that has authority. And so here's what the critics decided about 300 years ago. They began to say, okay, the prophecies are there, and they are accurate. But their explanation is that they were not prophetic, but that they were written after the fact as a religious fraud by someone who claimed falsely, hundreds and hundreds of years after Daniel had died, claimed to be the Daniel of the Bible. They often have convinced people that this must be true, not because of evidence, because there's no evidence backing this up, but simply by mere repeated assertion. The fact of the matter is, the book of Daniel, translated into Greek in the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, contains the book of Daniel, and this was created by 70 Jewish scholars at the order of an Egyptian pharaoh, Philadelphus, and it was done in 275 B.C. Well, these 70 Jewish scholars would not ever have included Daniel in a translation of the Bible into the Greek language that they knew was going to be used by pagans, that were going to judge the Jewish faith based on the Old Testament, the Tanakh. They would never have included Daniel if the book of Daniel was something new to them, unknown, someone said they just found it. Only if they and their teachers, going back generations and centuries, knew that there was a prophet Daniel that had lived and had risen to be prime minister of two Gentile empires. Only if they knew that to be true would they have been able to include that in the Bible. The Dead Sea Scrolls include the book of Daniel, and these Dead Sea Scrolls were transcribed hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. And so the claim and assertion by the critics that the book of Daniel is not prophetic because they claim it was, in fact, written around 165 B.C. at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, that Syrian Greek king who attacked Jerusalem, is absolutely false and proven to be false. And yet many people today, not knowing the truth, have made the assertion in modern books that Daniel's prophecies are just that, they're history that is pretending to be prophecy. They have been proven wrong, and what I've done in this book, especially in this section, but 195 going through to 200, I've shown the utter evidence that we can have confidence that Daniel was writing at the time of about 530 B.C., and that he recorded these words that were treated as scripture and carefully preserved by the Jews in the Dead Sea Scrolls, in their Bible, and translated into the Greek in the Septuagint in 275, and were believed and accepted by Jews everywhere. And when they came true, the Jews were waiting for the coming of Messiah.
Brother Grant, you know, Josephus, who was a priest and governor of Galilee, wrote in the Antiquities of the Jews and also in the Wars of the Jews about Daniel. He said not only did Daniel prophesy of things that yet were in the future, he prophesied some things that come to pass in his lifetime, even up to the time of Josephus, that had come true. So he said that Josephus was honored among the many of his countrymen and even those in other countries for his accuracy.
Absolutely, and even in the apocryphal books that were written between the close of the Old Testament around 400 years before Christ and the writing of the New Testament in the first century beginning with the Gospels, but in that 400-plus year period, there were a number of writings that are not part of the Bible, they're not part of the Holy Canon, but they're fascinating writings from Jews in that intergospel period between the Old and New Testament. And some of the most interesting are the book of the Maccabees. The Maccabees were the Jewish family who led successfully, against all odds, the rebellion against the Greek pagan king Antiochus Epiphanes, the one who defiled the temple, killed 40,000 Jews, and sacrificed a pig on the altar. And for 3 years, they fought against him and won. Well, in these writings, which are known to be from around 165 B.C., the father of this family, on his deathbed, tells his sons and grandsons that they should remember the lessons of the character of Daniel. Ezekiel, writing back at the time of Daniel, because he was a contemporary of Daniel. He was living in Babylon, and hardly anyone has ever disputed that. Three times in the book of Ezekiel, he refers to Daniel as a contemporary, as a well-known prophet, because both were living in Babylon, and Daniel had risen from slave to now be prime minister of the country. And it would be insane for Ezekiel to refer to Daniel three times in his biblical book as an existing famous individual and a great hero of God if he didn't exist. The claim of the critics is simply an assertion that their logic requires, because if they admit that Daniel was writing when he claims to have been writing around the middle of the 6th century, the 530 period, then obviously his predictions came true. Therefore, Daniel had to be supernaturally inspired, and therefore everything else he says must be considered accurate as well. That's their problem. And so in order to dodge the problem, they make the assertion. It's like whistling by the graveyard. They don't make any appeal to evidence because there is no evidence on their side. They just ignore.
Jesus, in referencing the coming tribulation and the rise of Antichrist, referred back to the prophecy of Daniel, didn't he?
He did indeed. He quotes Daniel. Daniel is quoted throughout the New Testament and alluded to numerous times. You can't possibly read the book of Revelation carefully, as you and I have, without seeing multiple allusions to Daniel's prophecies. And there's a real parallel between the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. In fact, it's hard to study one without the other. the whole Bible affirms that Daniel was a real prophet. And for any Christian, the fact that Jesus in Matthew 24, referring to the future Antichrist and the abomination of desolation when the Antichrist will defile the future temple, says in Matthew 24 that the man of, he talks about the fact that the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet will stand in the holy place. He's prophesying a future temple, but he's also telling us that Daniel was the one who initially was given the prophecy by God about this abomination. And if Jesus says Daniel existed and was a genuine prophet, then for any genuine Christian, that really settles it.
Certainly. I just want to reference Brother Grant, Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Malchus stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of his people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since a nation, even to this same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that is written in the book. And you go on to Revelation 1:4, where John says, the time is at hand. What time? The time referenced by Daniel. So you go right out of Daniel into the book of Revelation.
Absolutely.
I certainly want to encourage our listeners to get a copy of Grant's book. Brother Grant will be on the program again with us tomorrow. And here now is Brother Jerry to give you the number to call or the address to write in order for you to get your copy.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit our website at swrc.com. Brother Grant's book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, is 228 pages in length and is offered for a gift of $20 to United States listeners. You folks in Brother Grant's home country of Canada should send $22. When you get this insightful book, prepare yourself to read the most detailed description yet of the end times. You'll recognize that we very well could be in the extremity of the age and that the rapture of the church is imminent. Don't miss getting this valuable book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, by Dr. Grant Jeffrey. We'll send one copy in appreciation of your $20 gift to this ministry. That's for U.S. listeners. Canadian listeners should send $22. When the series is finished, there will be three programs, and they're available on CD or cassette tape for a gift of $17 in the United States, $18 in Canada. To get these resources, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio at Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or go to the web at swrc.com. This ministry is maintained on this station by your tax-deductible contributions. Would you please give us the call letters of this station when you call or write? We especially need to hear from WBYN Allentown, Pennsylvania listeners. You folks who hear us over WEUS in Orlando need to call, too. Friend, are you ready to meet Jesus in the air at the rapture? If not, here's Dr. Larry Spargimino to tell you how to get ready.
In spite of the wars and rumors of war, there is good news. God is not willing that any should perish, but that you would put your faith in Jesus Christ and have eternal life.
Thanks, Brother Larry. Next up on most of these stations is today's Bible in the News report. Join Brother Hutchings and Brother Grant tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. The land that produced some of the great preachers of old, England, seems to be moving far, far away from those Christian roots. We remember such names as Spurgeon, Tyndale, Knox, Wesley, Whitfield, and others. They were men who impacted Christianity as few others have. It's been reported recently that British atheists want to begin an ad campaign on London buses that take issue with the belief that there is a God. We're quoting from FoxNews.com. This story was posted on the Internet October 23, 2008. Quote, "London buses have God on their side, but not for long if atheists have their way. The sides of some of London's red buses will soon carry ads asserting there is probably no God, as non-believers fight what they say is the preferential treatment given to religion in British society." Organizers of the campaign to raise funds for the ads said they received more than $113,000 in donations, almost seven times their target, in the hours since they launched the project on a charity website. Supporters include Oxford University biologist Richard Dawkins, who donated $9,000. The money will be used to place posters on 30 buses carrying the slogan, "There's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life." The plan was to run the ads for 4 weeks starting in January, but so much money has been raised that the project may be expanded. A lot of people say trying to organize atheists is like herding cats. The last couple of days shows that is not true, said comedy writer Ariane Shireen, who started the campaign. While most London buses carry posters for shops of Hollywood movies, Christian churches and Muslim groups have bought bus side ad space in the past. Shireen came up with the idea after seeing a series of Christian posters on London buses. She said she visited the website promoted on one ad and found it told non-believers they would spend eternity in torment in hell. "I thought it would be a really positive thing to counter that by putting forward a much happier and more upbeat advert." Close quotes. The happier and upbeat message may be what non-believers want to hear, but the church website got it right. Those who do not place their trust in Jesus will spend eternity in hell. We know this is true because God's Word says so. We read, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's from Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. That lake of fire is hell, and only those who believe in Jesus have their name in the book of life. What about you? Is your name written there? That's today's Bible in the News report. To get a copy of the monthly Bible in the News question and answer publication, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the web at swrc.com. Please include a gift of $4 in the U.S., $6 in Canada to cover shipping and handling. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News or question and answer.